literally next to no, if any, bad wordies in this episode, folks. However, keep your logs pinned just in case one or two have sneaked through the filter. If you don't want to take the chance and your ears bleed upon contact with a swear, turn off now. For the rest of you, please enjoy. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Beyond Canal Park podcast. We're hurtling towards December now, and games are coming thick and fast for our local teams. The less said about Devon Vale's trip to Nairn County this weekend, the better, as they fell to a tough 7-2 loss. I've just seen a replay, though, of Harry Noble's consolation free kick, and what a strike it was. If you're interested in seeing that, it's on the Highland League Facebook page. Great goal. The Super side, they didn't do much better as they travelled to Spain Park to take on Banks of Dee. As tends to be the case, for some unknown reason, Devon side took a very depleted squad to Aberdeen and found themselves 4-0 down by half time. Manager Mikey Duncan will be pleased by the resilience shown by his team in the second half, though, winning that 1-0 to leave the score 4-1 at the final whistle. John McClay, the co-manager, scoring the consolation goal. It didn't get much better for White Hills, the only team playing at home last weekend. They fell 6-1 to Isle of Vale in a weekend really best erased from the memory. With me this week, a guest who's taken me right back to the 70s to talk about his playing days with Devon Vale and the hugely successful 80s with Devon side. He chats about working under George Adams, Alan Scott, as well as playing alongside some cracking players, including Aberdeen greats, Jim Leighton and Ian Jess. Great to catch up with Grant Smith, and here's what he had to say. I'm joined on the podcast this week by a former Devon Vale, Fraserburgh, Turriff United and Cove Rangers player. Perhaps most fondly remembered as a pivotal member of the most successful Devon side team to date. It's the one and only Grant Smith. Grant, thanks for welcoming me into your home this evening to record with the mobile studio. How are you doing?
Fine, James, yourself?
Aye, brilliant. Thanks for coming on. You looking forward to it?
Reluctant conscript.
Are you ready to look back on a glittering career? I'm looking forward to hearing your best 11 as well. I was speaking to your son Michael last night. He told me to bring a sleeping bag, like. Okay, I'm going to have to load my time machine up with extra plutonium, but take me back to your upbringing as a young loon, Fipper Soy, and sort of how and what got you into football.
Very little coaching back then, James. We'd go up to the park in the morning with my pals, and we would play football for 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night.
Brilliant.
Every time, every day. It was just one of these things. And I played with a lot of guys that went on to play to a decent level. The core of the guys were Mikey Herbertson, who went on to play for Vale and Turriff.
Uh-huh.
Neil Clark, for eventually played in goals for Dundee United and was a Brock stalwart for years.
Okay.
And that was the kind of core. And we just went up, and there was no coaching at all. It was just him kickaboots, inventing various games. First organised football I would have played would have been at school.
Okay.
For Port Soy. Mine playing for the North of Scotland as a young loon.
Brilliant,
eh? And playing North of Scotland games. I remember doing it at Perth, and an Aston Villa scout approached my mum and dad and what am I doing there to get a trial, but they wouldn't let me go doing it at that age. Birmingham was in a hell of a long while back in the
may as well been America back then, was it? We're talking about the late 60s, early 70s kind of thing.
I've been in the late 60s.
Are folks into football at all, or?
My dad was. My dad used to come up and hit kickaboots.
Okay, I imagine.
With loons for a while. He was kind of one of these hands-on dads, but nae pushy at all. I was never pushed to go and play football.
No.
And years later, I tried to do the same with Mike. I didn't boast about a lot of doing football, but that's one thing I would boast about. I never ever forced Mike to go and be a football player. He did that off his own bat, and consequently, he loves playing it, loves watching it, and I think that's because I wasn't a psycho parent.
I think it's something, if you're going to be good at it, you need to do for the love of it rather than being forced into it.
Aye, there's nothing bad with that. I'm not even critical of people that do that. But for me, letting Mike love the game on his own was a much better way than... In fact, when I coached him for a few years when I was helping Stuart at Banff Academy, Stuart mm-hmm. Nielsen, and Mike hated it because okay. I was harder in Mike than I was in the rest of Loons. Nah. And he got an unfair deal with me.
In terms of you're saying there wasn't much organised fit, but once you got into school, there's any coaches or people that stick in your mind?
Aye, probably a couple. Bomber Thompson was an all-P teacher for Bucky. Bomber was okay. the sponge man at Bucky for a few years, and he's the first guy of mine delivering any form of coaching at all.
Aye.
And then when I played North of Scotland, there was a guy, Ian Cole, ironically enough, for a work now Bucky High School. Ian was a teacher there. And they kind of stick out. Mr. Dick, the headmaster at Portsoy, I was encouraged boys to play. But as I say, the organised football was few and far
Aye,
between.
Mm-hmm.
Really just when I went to Banff Academy,
Aye.
We started playing in the school teams. But I never played like a juvenile football in Aberdeen or anything like that. No.
Successful school team?
If I can mind, I kind of played under 13 all the way through. And again, played north of Scotland. Enjoyed my school football days, but didn't mind that much about it.
No, mind any of the boys in the North of Scotland team, anyone going to do anything? No,
didn't mind any of them at
all. Okay, fit about in terms of watching football and teams supported and heroes you were watching?
I get stick because folks said I was a bit of Rangers supporter when I was young, but I think I did go do Ibrox a few times.
There's a big Portsoy Rangers contingent.
There used to be a busload going doing. But kind of Aberdeen, really, followed Aberdeen.
Aye.
Liverpool, where I was my English club.
Aye.
And even to this day, I didn't mind watching telly and watching football on the telly, but I'm not a great spectator.
No, I prefer being involved.
I much prefer playing. Still playing a Thursday night.
Good. any players that stand out back then, though, that you thought, oh, I want to be him?
Professional players,
yep.
I suppose it'd be difficult to look by like a Graham Souness
mm-hmm.
is kind of the type of player that I wanted to be.
Aye.
Somebody that could look after themselves, but somebody that had a degree of ability that made him stand out for the crowd.
A bit of class in the ball, but could put a boot in when required.
Absolutely. And all our boys, I suppose, like Zoltan Varga, when he was at Aberdeen, that was a different type of player.
Okay. So your first dabble into adult football came at Devonvale. How did that come about, and who brought you in there?
Well, Portsoy was my first club, really. I played Welfare League when I was a young loon. And I suppose got spotted by the Vale at a really young age, 16. There was a nucleus in that team that was a really strong Portsoy side, the one Arthur before them. And again, a few of that guys went on to play Highland League football, Sid Imla,
mm-hmm.
Mikey Herbertson, Neil Clark, myself. Another half a dozen could have played certainly junior football, but never really chose not to do that. And after playing with the Vale for a year and a half, maybe, the Vale asked me doing for a trial game. I think it was against Inverness Thistle, I think.
Okay.
And if I mind right, after a Portsoy night out, the dinner and dance, I was a bit fragile the following day. I was a young loon, but got signed with the Vale. George Christie was the manager then.
Okay,
I thought I was just like a Johnny for Aberdeen, but... mental about fitness, George, really strict training regime, and that was really my introduction to coaching.
Okay.
Up until then, I'd have said I had no coaching whatsoever.
Okay. So tell me, just touching on Portsoy again quickly, the amount of players that have came out of Portsoy is unbelievable, and if you said there was no much coaching back then, if it is it about Portsoy that's producing players?
Abdi used to go up to the park and mm-hmm. play fit, but I mean even nights like this, winter nights, the street lights, there was no floodlights or facilities at all.
No.
But the street lights would shine on the back side beside the garage. And you used to hear, I've seen maybe a dozen aside, 15 aside.
You know,
just playing, young guys wanted to play football. And that's Wasn't there Xboxes or PlayStations or something?
No, well, that's true.
Now, but you just went out and played football, that's what you did.
I tell you, it's part of the Pertsoy culture, because there was Xboxes and PlayStations when I was young, but that was still going on, and I used to go up to the park most nights and play with boys. And
aye.
You know, it would be everyone from 16-year-olds to 10-year-olds playing in the same game.
Well, I remember at New Year, not a few years ago, from Mike... and his pals, Kyle and Neil Ray, and them used to play every like Hogmanay. They would go up and have a game.
Aye.
And again, you'd hear Disney side, but
brilliant.
Disney seemed to be quite like.
No, it's dying off a bit. Eh? Okay, so the Veil. How old were you when you went there? You think
16? I suppose. Aye.
Okay, mm-hmm. Where were you playing at that point in the park?
Left sided midfield.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a winger when I was at primary school, and I developed into a kind of midfield player.
Aye.
At Banff Academy, and it was kind of left mid,
mm-hmm.
before I kind of gravitated inside to play centre mid.
Aye.
But left mid was my first position.
Okay. And who were the senior players around the club at that point?
Tremendous players, really. Lucky to be involved with a lot of really good people,
mm-hmm.
in my, all the way through my football playing days.
Aye.
If I was looking at the guys at the back, you had a range of defenders, Colin Manson, Graham Senf. The standout player for me was Johnny Markey. Fullback, really quick. You could never beat Johnny in a sprint. He was just tremendous. The player I would say that was the biggest, and a lot of young guys as well my age,
aye.
Like Alan Forbes, Kevin Bremner, Mikey Herbertson, Sid Imla. So it was quite a nucleus of young boys, but
yep.
It was quite a good atmosphere about the club at that time.
But brilliant.
The guy called Norman Perry,
okay.
Blew me away. The first time I saw Norman, I thought, my goodness me, he was one of these guys. He was like Graham Souness. He was an absolute horse. He just took off and clean in, but by God, uh-huh. He could play as well. And I suppose he's the... I would have said he was the biggest single influence in me,
okay,
being
aye.
Highland League football player, Norman Perry. And up front, you had guys like the late Roy Chillingworth, Charlie Esselmont, Kevin Bremner on his day was unplayable.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the late Norrie McBain was just... I mean, the first time I walked into the Vale, and Norrie came in with a leather jacket and sunglasses, and I just thought, oh my God, I've made
how's
it.
How's this rock star?
he was like a rock star at the club.
And was he good with the young boys in terms of helping you with advice
very,
and things
very
as well?
Very much so. When I first met him, I thought, oh no, you're just going to be one of these show-off guys. But he wasn't. He was a really, quite a gentle guy, Norrie.
He wasn't the George Best of the Vale.
No. Maybe he thought he was, but he wasn't. He was too nice for that.
Okay, was it a successful period for the Vale at that time?
Just at the start, I mean, I mind getting humped 10-1 by Inverness Thistle. And got to bear in mind, Inverness Thistle, Carly were incredibly strong sides in their own right. So it was really difficult trying to get a foothold in that league. But first year, I would have said, was pasting. But then the year after that, we began to put a bit of form together.
Mm-hmm.
Guys were coming to the club that were really quite useful. We signed George Perry, Davy Ross, Charlie Esselman, off of Peterhead, I think it was, and what a difference they made. George Perry played sweeper. He was just a tremendous guy to play with. Very calm, very assured on the ball. Played football for the back, way ahead of his time at that time. And what a difference three or four players made. And it gave the younger boys a lot more confidence.
Brilliant.
And it was 2 years after I won the Bells Cup final, and that was the first trophy Vale had won in like something like 12 years.
Okay. Well, I was going to take you on to what your best memories of playing for the Vale was, so
hard to go by that.
Aye.
I remember a few outstanding personal performances and meeting a lot of good people. And George Adams, who went on to management in the Broch,
uh-huh.
I mind missing a penalty against Bucky, and I mind George coming up to me and having a word with me, just kind of consoling me, and I went on to absolutely play a brilliant game. It's just a lot of really good memories.
Brilliant.
With that. But the Bells Cup was difficult to kind of match. It was a midweek game up at Huntly.
Okay.
We were playing Huntly, and I think we went in. My memory of this is vague, but I think we went into a 2-goal lead. I scored a penalty. Maybe Kevin scored, I can't mind. And they came back 2-2 into extra time, and then went into penalties. And at the time, we had Jim Leighton in goals.
Brilliant.
He was quite handy. He was farmed out to the Vale.
Young boy then?
Young boy. There's two, him and Bobby Clark was a goalie at the Dons, and John Gardner and Jim were the two young keepers.
Okay, aye.
And one of them played the reserves, and it was a toss-up between really John and Jim, and we ended up getting Jim, and Jim was just a fantastic asset to have in any.
Brilliant, huh? Just,
he was so good, he was such a good shot stopper. Bossed folk about, made folk better players, and I think he saved two or maybe three in that penalty shootout, and I scored another penalty in a shootout, and we won it, and it's probably my outstanding memory of the Veil.
Could you tell even then that Jim Leighton was destined to become Scotland's most capped goalkeeper?
I think it's easy in hindsight to mark a comment like that. No, you'd never even dream you're going to play. I'm lucky I've played with a couple of guys that have gone on to do really well in football. Jim, no, he wouldn't have seen that coming, but Ken thoroughly deserved.
Bit quality nonetheless.
Yes.
Good. Okay. What about, was it mostly local lads that were playing for the Vale back then?
It was a smart run of guys for Peterhead area, and there was a couple of guys for Aberdeen. Norman Perry was for Aberdeen, and you kind of needed that, but there was a lot of young boys coming through at that time.
So the social scene good?
I mean, I probably remember travelling the bus more than I do going to Banff Ganoot. And at that time, of course, you had a Kerry out in the bus and a Wybuck. And in mine, we were really got into cards.
Okay.
Definitely. It wasn't a good. I actually stopped after two or three times. I thought, no, I'm just not doing this. I didn't like the mood that kind of left the camp in.
No.
But guys that socialised with and guys I was parlour with, I mean, look at Mikey Herbert said, I played with Mikey. We used to play for the school. We played with the school in the morning, played with the Vale in the afternoon, and then we would, if we didn't go out and hear a kickabout, we weren't mates at night. We were big headed bastards. So you just played football.
You're playing all day. So you were still at school when you first went to the Vale?
I just was leaving the school at the time when I first started playing, but Mikey was still at school.
Aye, brilliant. Okay, how long were you at the Vale for?
Four years, maybe 5 years.
So how did it come about that you left Avonvale?
Oh, it was my fault. Ken Tedcastle became the manager from our successful phase.
Yep.
And then Ken left. He got headhunted by Elgin City.
Right.
And we ended up with Billy Anderson, a local legend, took over.
A few stints.
And Billy's a great lad. And really fond memories of Billy and Alan Scott, the two of them kind of had enmity for quite some time, and then ended up in Pali, which I thought was quite nice. Billy had a massive fight with Billy. I would have been quite happy to play Amadeus at Avail, but I think it was after a game at Peterhead, I think Billy wasn't happy with the performance and started going through people individually.
Okay.
And I took great umbrage at this and had a massive fight and left the club really, and was walking down King Street in Aberdeen.
Aye.
I think I was going to my work or coming home from my work, and this car stopped, and it was George Adams. And George said, oh, if it's happened with the Vale, and I tell him if it happened, and he just more or less followed my dude in the house with a contract and signed there and then.
Okay, so he was the manager that signed you, George?
George signed me for a broch.
Aye, brilliant. What was it like working under him? A great guy, I know him.
Aye. I mean, although my heart would always say Alan Scott is my favourite manager, George was light years ahead on than I'd ever contacted. And his coaching was good, and he used to have Teddy Scott coming out for Aberdeen doing training sessions.
And
his
obviously
coaching methods were good. Really hard disciplinarian, George.
Okay.
You wouldn't have messed about with George. But galvanised a lot of the people at Ibrox at that time. There was a lot of people with ability, but they were quite disorganised and didn't really have a lot of motivation to be better players. And George just went in there and took a hard of them by the scruff of the neck. Guys like John Duffy, Jim Crawford, were really, really good players, but had no discipline about them.
Jim molded
them George molded them into a really strong side.
Did he just come for Aberdeen at that point? I know he played under Fergie at Aberdeen and got a bad injury, did he?
He got a bad injury, knee injury, George, and he ended up playing Highland League. For Bucky.
Okay.
And I think Jim Adams, who was the chairman at Fraserburgh at the time, had had a couple of conversations with George and liked what he'd heard. And I actually think he'd gone to Fergie. If I mind right, I think that's what the story was. He'd gone to Fergie and Fergie had said, "Man, there's only one guy you're butting, and it's George." And he got George. I used to was really friendly with George and his family. I had kid Derek on, his son, for when we went to play senior football.
Now just got a new job at Morecambe.
I absolutely, and I used to kid Derek on. I taught him how to play football because George would pick me up.
Brilliant.
For Aberdeen. Drive me out to Ireland. I would have his team, Moira and the Burns, and then we would go to the Broch, and then George drove me either way back to Aberdeen, and then went back to Ireland. It was just, he was mental. He lived and breathed football.
George is uncle of my best mate Aaron. I've been in George and Derek's company, and they're so determined and driven about football. It's amazing. Let me tell you.
Almost to the point of being damaging.
George was still driving down to every Plymouth game. To support Derek, and I'm sure he'll probably be doing the same at Morecambe.
That's a bit of closer hand.
I remember one night, I think Aaron's sister was away to leave to move to Australia, and she was having a leaving party, and George was there, and he came up to us and asked us what we wanted to drink. I'll buy you a round. And I says, "Oh, yeah, beer, Aaron's on Jack Daniels." He came back with 8 Cokes. He says, "I don't believe in drinking." He says, "Just a tray of Cokes." Oh, but let me tell you, that night I also asked him about you and playing for you. And his quote was that if he'd had a team of Grant Smiths, he would have won everything. How does that make you feel?
No, that's nice. I kept George rated, man. George, when I ended up playing for Cove a few years later, George sulked with me because he was at Keith at the time.
No, he wanted you there.
And he said, "Why didn't they pick up the phone?" Aye. It was just one of these things. I never thought I was that great, to be honest with you. I was just one of these guys that I took all that for granted. I mind boys at my work speaking about, "Oh, you're a Highland League player." And I just thought that's what young loons did. I never thought about it at all.
He certainly rated you anyway.
Oh, that's nice.
Was there, what's the memories there? Trophies?
Only or... a year there, okay. Really. I ended up having a year out of football because I started working with a couple of youth clubs in Port Sawyer, through the church, one of them. And I took a year off. But we were runners up in the league. Last game of the season, we needed to beat Peterhead. I think I was actually suspended. And we beat Peterhead 5-0, but Bucky and Keith, I think, drew, and that gave Keith the title.
So okay. So
really
just missed.
Bitter end to the season. But that was a great side. That's as good a side, I would say, as I've played.
Okay.
Just some tremendous players on the team.
Brilliant.
And great memories. Brocker, straight as a die. If you weren't playing well, by goodness.
they told you about it.
Oh.
So you had a bit of time out of the game. When you got back into it with Turriff, did you?
I Turriff United. I had a season for Port Sawyer again in the Welfare League because I wanted to get myself fit.
Aye.
And I ended up, that was his season, I ended up playing with Ian Jess.
I was going to say there, you ended up looking after him, did you?
Well, a lot of boys claim that. If you speak to at least 7 boys in that team, they'll say they were Ian's minder. But Ian could look after himself. He was nae mug at that age. And I actually had gone to Robbie Warnder at Peterhead and I says, "Look, you've got to come and see this kid. He's just tremendous."
Brilliant,
and
even at that age.
And Robbie came up to watch and I think it was Jim Hamilton, and he'd a stinker that night. And Jim Hamilton said, "We're nae to sign Ian, but we'd quite like to sign you." But I ended up getting George. I knew George, of course, through the book, and I gave George a shout to come and hear Lukey and... The rest, as they say, is history.
He was destined for it. Do you think you passed anything on to him, though, in that year?
Not at all.
No?
People go on about... You hear this rubbish in Port Sawyer about certain boys that didn't even play junior football being the best players. Nothing could touch you. Anybody that plays at that level, to have the mental strength, never mind the ability to play that level, puts you onto a different footing altogether.
And again, another one who ended up playing for Scotland.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
They'll keep in touch.
I was going to say, you're still in contact. He's still involved in football, is he?
No, he's pretty disillusioned with football. Okay. But that's his story to tell. Aye. I think he just got a couple of raw deals doing in England.
You can maybe see if he'll come off for an interview, Grant.
I will ask him.
I've probably not got a big enough wallet to pay for him, maybe. Port Sawyer, obviously a club that's close to my heart. I think I played for about 15 seasons with Port Sawyer, and we've kind of touched on the great players that have came out of Port Sawyer. But how does it feel to be the third best player to ever come out of Port Sawyer, behind Ian Jess and the legendary Kippers?
And that is the one that I continually kind of believe that people swallow. I've actually heard folks
say, is he a real person?
Willie was an absolutely outstanding player, but wouldn't have had the discipline to play at a higher level. But ability wise, he was as good a player as I've ever seen. But I think it's really unfair on Ian just to say that. But it is the old Portsoy chestnut.
That came for your son anyway.
Oh, no idea. He's a bad loser.
So when you got back into it, why did you not go back to Highland League? Why Turriff United in the juniors?
Money. They offered me more money.
Okay.
So I was a bit of a mercenary when it came to kind of football. A couple of guys there that I knew. I'm trying to think if I was a manager there at the time. Ken Charlie Ogston was there. I had a lot of time for Charlie. Charlie did the coaching. Ended up playing a few seasons there. Loved my time at Turriff. Loved the battle of the Aberdeen juniors. It was
the Toonsers.
Still the same. Aye. And I actually got a lot of good friends through playing in North Alliance games. Mm-hmm. Billy Monroe, Mikey Turnbull. Great lads to play wee. But just awful to play against.
So the same mentality was there, is it? The Toonsers expect to come through and walk over the boys for Banff and Turriff.
And I think it was a big step up for a lot of boys that were playing local football to have to match that challenge. And I ended up seeing it as a good thing because it helped people raise their game. And if you didn't have that aggression and will to win, these Aberdeen teams would walk over the top of you.
Okay. So was that a successful team, though?
It was successful enough. We had a few boys that I played with, Vale, Ray Archibald, Roy Chillingworth, I died just not that long ago. We played together doing it at Turriff. Davy Pirre, my chum, played with the Vale, and Larry Devrin's side played there as well. Won a few trophies and kind of challenged for the league, but never got near the league title, really.
No.
It was a good bunch at Turriff, good social club, great social life, some really cracking players. Ian Bruce that went on to play for Bucky Thistle.
So
I hadn't even got him doing my best team either. He'll be raging.
Okay, but so how did it come about? You came home, well, to Banff anyway, and signed for Devrin's side.
Alan, really, very persuasive. I think maybe I had another 6 months out of the game. It took a wee break, but Alan just kept hounding me, and eventually went down to play a game to, in Scotty's words, help him out. And that was it. It was just kind of in with the furniture after that. And again, they were quite financially well off. And kind of... I knew that I had a decent job in that, but the money was handy when you were a young dad with Burns. It was handy to have extra cash. And Devrin's side at that time were paying just as much as Highland League clubs.
Okay, So they were well backed by Eddie Bruce. And
Social Club made a lot of revenue. I didn't think it's as busy as it was then.
No.
But at that time, you went into that Social Club after the game. You could hardly get moved.
Okay,
it was just
brilliant.
Block.
Aye.
And committee at that time... some really great characters, Bertie Tuch, Little Lenny, Charlie Taylor, Willie Boots, and of course Eddie Bruce himself. Eddie was just an absolute gentleman. Frankie Siv, the Giner, was a really good bunch of people at the club.
Brilliant.
And Alan was just driven, utterly driven, to try and take on the Aberdeen teams and beat them.
Okay.
And well, that we did.
I was going to say, there's quite a few people that have been on so far talked about Alan in very glowing terms. What were his qualities that made him one of the best managers you worked under?
He could be droll. He was. I mean, although our team gets the credit for that, I just must mention the team that kind of went before us. We, like guys like Les Crabbe.
Did you not play with Les?
No, I didn't play with Les. Les was like the year or two before me.
Okay.
Ian Angus. There was a few of the guys in there. What's the boy?
The physics teacher.
Aye. Angus. It was Rob Adamson. He was like a striker. And they actually began to push Devrin's side into the upper echelons.
Okay,
football. They were really responsible, I think, for the change in Devrin's side. But
okay.
Alan was... Alan would phone you up on a Friday night, and I was the same. Edith would answer the phone, and there would be this silence. It wasn't the most talkative. Aye, Edith. Aye, Grant, yeah. And that was it. But once you got Alan speaking about football, he was just Absolutely driven to be the best he could be, and everybody round about him had to be the same.
Aye.
A lot of folk misread Alan because he had that drollness about him, but by crikey, he was brilliant company. Aye. He was gregarious company. I used to take a guitar to the WA games, and like when we stayed over in Scottish Cup ties and that, we would be doing, and the club would pay for the weekend, so you would be doing. But was like playing for a professional team. Stayed a Friday night, played a game, stayed a Saturday night. Many stories that I could tell you about the Saturday nights, but I dare not, and I will not. I've got too many good friends, but just brilliant, brilliant stories with some terrific characters.
Uh-huh. So who was in that? Because I guess that could be defined as the glory years for different side.
Well,
so far,
you had guys like Gary Mitchell was a goalie. Gary was just a wee guy, but was a tremendous goalie. Andy Patterson, Pele's breather, Ian Cormack played at the back. There was a guy, Willie Dobbins, played centre-back. Raymond Carno, are really good players. Mm-hmm. Middle of the park had Graham Tallis, Gary Innes, Marcel. Was a guy, Faberdeen, what was his name? Graham Anderson. So it was a hell range of players. Right. And then up top had... Ian Wright was a brilliant winger, unplayable in his day. Ian, Graham Bowie, Davy Pirrey. It was brilliant. Stuart Baird, one of the best strikers I've ever played with. Just absolutely tremendous team, and even the guys that weren't getting a regular game, like Alan Mill. Alan died not that long ago. Alfie Morris, and Alfie was a brilliant guy socialising. Mm-hmm. He was like a super sub, and it was just a really good set of boys that all got on well with each other. Brian Geddes was a fullback. Just tremendous bunch of lads.
And as you were saying, good social scene up at the club, and that there was boys going out after every game.
They're the away games that I mind. You know what I'm doing to Glasgow, and again, it was the same thing. And the committee used to mark a fortune because they were going into these Glasgow clubs who just thought they were unbeatable in their own patch. And they would go into the bookies, and the bookies wouldn't even have odds, and they would say to the committee guys, "Ah, we'll give you 10-1. We've got 20-1 one game
playing
at Kilmarnock." And they would put on like 20, 30 quid and absolutely clean up.
Magic.
Stuart Nielsen. Had to mention Stuart.
I was going to ask you about him. He's been mentioned a lot on this podcast as well.
And rightfully so, with the work that he's done with young guys. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people forget about Stuart, as he was a really decent player.
Well, I was going to say, we obviously just knew him as our PE teacher and coach, but none of us really got to see him play that much. What was he like as a player and as a man in a squad?
When I did play the left-hand side, I loved him, Stuart, behind me, because you knew what you get. Stuart was as solid as a rock.
Uh-huh.
He played a bit of Highland League. I think he played with Rothes, I think.
Okay.
But he was a side man through and through. He loved the banter of the side. He loved the pattern tended to be the younger boys were gooting the round down, chasing the women. And all our boys, we just sit in here, like, drink malt whiskey all night. And Stuart just loved that. But he was a cracking player in his own right. He was quick, very left-sided, but really strong. And could come forward as well. Stuart was a really huge asset to any team.
Brilliant. I guess you've mentioned some of the great players, but maybe not necessarily for their talent on the pitch, but who did you look around the dressing room and think, well, I'm glad you're there, I'm glad we've got you in our team?
Well, certainly latterly, but at one point we had the two Roger brothers playing for us, Graham and Neil. And if anybody of us played against or with Graham or Neil will tell you, they are the nicest guys that you could ever meet. They're just utter gentlemen.
Okay.
But put a pair of shorts on and they turn into the Cray twins. I mean, honestly, it was embarrassing. I've seen the two of them. I remember one training session. I played with them at Turriff and I played with them at Devon side. And I remember, I think it was at Turriff, the two of them started fighting. And I didn't mean...
with each other.
Play fighting. I mean, with each other. Laying each other out. Shouting all these obscenities, and then once we got them in at the changing room, they'd had a shower, then they started, "Oh no, it was my fault. No, no, it was you. I'm just an idiot." And Graham, I remember one game, Graham's the hardest player I think I've ever played for. Played with, he's a striker. We were playing through it, I think it was at Sunnybank, and Mikey Strachan played sweeper for Sunnybank. I played with Mike at the Vale. And Mikey was a really good lad, good player, and I think it was early on in a game for Turriff, and Graham had knocked a bye by Mikey and had gone to the other side of him, and Mikey had close roped him, just put his arm out and broke Graham's nose, and it was out of his face. He had to get teen off. And as he went off a pitch, he said, "Aye, Mikey, just as let you can, I've got a great memory." And we didn't play them again for another maybe 3-4 months, and it was in at Aberdeen and Sunnybank, and we had a kick off, and the ball was knocked back to the fullback, and he launched it forward. I think Brian's launched it forward, and Mikey Strachan jumped to heed the bar, and Graham's boot caught him right across the face, and he got taken to hospital. Graham was just absolutely nuts.
You weren't afraid to put your heed in yourself, or you took a few broken noses yourself?
I had a couple during my one at Brock and heck, one at Vale, and a couple at Devon side. But oh, it's just part of the game.
Aye.
I mine at the Brock, getting my nose broken, but Donny Mackay was playing for Lossie.
Okay.
And then the following week we were playing up at Nairn, and I kind of, George was reading out the team, and I thought, well, can I be, I'll get a week off, and then they come to me, and Grant Smith. So no, I said, "George, are you minding? I broke my nose last week." He says, "Do you kick the bar with your nose?" I said, "No." He says, "Do you heed the bar with your nose?" I said, "No." And he said, "You're playing." End of story.
Oh dear. Talk to me then on that note about commitment levels now, because that wouldn't have happened now. If somebody had broken those, they just wouldn't have played.
You wouldn't be allowed to play, but I think back, I'm not one of these guys that harps on about how great things were. And Fitbar's Fitbar, and that's I think everybody's got a right to think that their generation was something special. And that's just what happens nowadays.
That's
I don't
it.
Reckon if it's changed that much. I think you still get boys like Graham and Neil Roger. I mean, Neil, actually, at inside, playing at the Games Hall at Banff Academy, getting tripped by one of the Aberdeen boys and getting heed first through one of that glass-reinforced doors. And then the whole place just stopped. It was one of that moments where the whole place just stopped. Neil, however, pulled his heed back out of the reinforcement, and it lacerated his face as he was through his head. And it was absolutely pissing a blood. Neil got up, took a bar, dribbled inside, scored, and then took off his top and wiped the bleed off his heel and said, "Fitzhab, you stop for." So these guys had a level of commitment that he put me to shame, and I thought I was really committed.
But do you think, let me tell you about sort of current days, if you went to Alan or George and said that you were going away for the weekend to a wedding or with the missus and you weren't able to play against Banks of Dee on Saturday, what would happen then?
I had been in that position several times during my playing career, and I would not have dared to go and say, the rule was with Alan, you would get the wedding dance at night, you would never be allowed to go to the wedding. You just wouldn't ask.
And if you did go, would that be you? Finished, you think, or out of squad for a log team?
Well, you would have certainly not been playing the following week.
No.
So that's just why it was. But again, I wouldn't be too critical on young guys, and why having a more balanced outlook in your life is actually not a bad thing.
No, affected other aspects of life, I guess.
It's kind of, it's just, at the end of the day, it is just a game of football.
Aye, that's it. Okay, favourite moments at the side? Favourite games, goals?
Too many to mention. Scored a barrel load of goals for Devon's side. It was probably my best games per goals ratio. Scored banged in goals for Awy.
Brilliant.
The one game that would stand out would have to be the Zamoyski Cup final, which was a competition in this game, if it's still in the goal.
There's still an incarnation of it.
Aberdeen clubs, North clubs, and I think it was the second season it was on the go, or the first season maybe. We just swept Athens before us and ended up playing a team called Downfield in Dundee, in their backyard. And I remember a game, all the Dundee United players were there, Paul Hegarty, Paul Sturrock were all there, and they just thought it was going to be a festival of how many goals they were going to score against these Hicks. And it wasn't a great game. We won 1-0, David Perry scored, and I remember Alan got me to pick up the guy, I can't remember his name now, he went on to play senior Fitbar, but this boy didn't have a neck. He was about 6'6", and he was built like a brick shit house. And I got the job of picking him up at corners, and I was, by the end of the game, I was black and blue. Absolutely black and blue. But we won 1-0, and it was difficult to see by that. That really put side in the map. And there been a couple of great Scottish Cup runs after that.
And league titles?
Again, too many to mention. I never a league or cup counter. I'm not one of these guys that could tell you. I looked at a few trophy thingies for you to see, but I'm not a, I'm not a bean counter. I just think, part for me, the great thing about football was the playing of the football. We a bunch of boys that are really love playing football. Uh-huh. Being successful, winning games. I loved all that. Didn't really ever tally up the amount of cups and leagues that we won.
No, you just wanted to win every week.
Just wanted to win. And what kind of, that was just, that was what it was about. No. It was the old cliche, far we got next week, and then just trying to sweep all before us.
And folk obviously kind of see this, but you've shown, I've been looking through some of the scrapbooks. You've got Devrim Vale's the first 50 years. There's quite a lot of mentions in there.
Again, I'm not a great memorabilia man. That was mayor, kind of, my late wife Edith used to cut stuff out of the paper and keep it. And I've never really paid much attention to it. And I had a looky the other night when I knew you were coming up, and I was amazed at some of the photographs in there.
It's amazing the amount of stuff it's here. Nowadays you get medals for participation, but you wouldn't have back then, and you've still got a truckload here.
I know, it's all winners or runners up.
Okay. Talking about Edith, was she very supportive of you throughout your playing days, or did she not really like the football?
No, couldn't have been any football. She saw me playing once.
Okay.
Played for Vale up at Huntly, and it was the only hat-trick I ever scored in the Highland League.
Brilliant.
And she was there with her mate. Pat, and I said after a game, did you enjoy a game? She said, oh, I loved it. I says, what one of my goals did you think was the best? And she said, did you score?
So no, football wasn't for her.
No.
Kept that separate. Okay. I guess you wanted to test yourself back in Highland League though, did you? And you ended up at Cove Rangers.
I actually would have been quite happy to continue playing with Devrin's side, but I just thought, I'm going to hit a crack at it before I stop. And I think all in was Polly with Dave Watson at the time, and he'd made it known to him and a couple of other Highland League clubs. So I think Forrest wanted to sign me, Peter Heed wanted to sign me. But once I went through and had a look up at the set of Cove, it was an easy decision there. They were, the money they were throwing about. Alan McRae was the chairman of the club at the time, for us going on to greater things. I didn't have a particularly great relationship with Alan. He was very feisty, and again, because I wasn't a tooncer, I think you were looked upon as a lesser being.
Was this another payday for you?
Aye, huge. I had a boy that I used to work with called Frankie Morrison. Played for Elgin City, and Frankie was a real tooncer. And he said to me, when he heard I was going to want to go into his talks with Cove, he said, I can't really say on the radio what he said, but oh my goodness me, he said, I've loaded, think one number and double it. So I played against Hibs and I played really well and sat down with the chairman and the manager after the game, and they said, what do you want for a signing on fee? And I'm there that type of boy, and I said, nah, I'm not going to name you a figure, just you say something and I'll say if I'm happy. And he says, no. Just you say a figure. This has been for 1990, I suppose it would have been. And so I could hear Frankie whispering in my ear, and I said, how does £1,200 sound? And without even a pause, Alan McRae said, aye, that's fine.
So you're doing yourself short. You should have doubled that.
I should have done. I wouldn't have been worth it, but I'd have taken it.
Did you enjoy your time at Cove?
Aye, mixed. Aye. I think pretty quickly into the job, Dave never really rated me.
Okay.
I mind playing once up at Elgin, and I was stuck for somebody to bark, and he played me sweeper. I tried to dink it by somebody instead of clearing my lines, and they ended up scoring and we lost the game, and I didn't think I ever recovered for that.
Okay.
I didn't hail on ill well against Dave, but it was just one of these things. No matter fit I did, it was never good enough. The week before we played the qualifying cup final against the Brock at Huntly, it was a midweek game up at Keith, and I absolutely bossed the game. I was man of the match, but Dave was away on holiday. He came back for the game on a Saturday, and the other guys were saying, oh, you'll be a shoe-in on Saturday, and I wasn't even on the bench.
Okay.
And that was the end
of it. That was it. Do you regret then that going to Cove? Did you wish you stayed at the side?
It was a really good experience. Met some really good guys there, some really good players, some really nice lads. Ray Ewell, Mike Megason, Andy Patterson, his brother Scott, Stevie Beckett, the goalie. I was quite poly with Stevie. And I liked my time there. I really liked my time. Wee Dougie Baxter was playing, Graham Park, Tommy Forbes, had a lot of really nice guys there.
Brilliant.
Face just didn't fit. And I'm lucky, I never had that. Every club I had been at, I was a golden boy. I was captain with most of the clubs I'd been at. Mm-hmm. So having one bad experience actually made me have more sympathy for what it feels like to be in the fringes of a team, because that can be really difficult for players. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Talking about your attributes as a player, what do you think your main strengths were on the pitch?
I would have said I wasn't feared.
Aye.
Near to the point of being reckless. And I think I had a pretty good touch, and I probably a good eye for a goal. I think my vision for a pass, if I was going to bump myself up, it would probably be that.
Okay.
I think I had a really good eye for a pass.
And what made you a leader for so many managers to name you captain?
I've no idea. I just think I was pretty. I was an honest player.
Uh-huh.
I gave everything. I think I had, with the type of player I was, I think I had the respect of the guys that played with me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ask anybody in the team to do anything that I wouldn't have done myself.
But did you demand the best from them?
Aye, but I would have liked to have thought in a really encouraging way. I wasn't one of these captains that made folks' life a misery. I was more an encouraging kind of voice in the changing room.
Do you think you were good with young boys as well? Do you think you tried to bring them on, or were you concentrating on yourself?
No, I think it was one of the things that whetted my appetite for
coaching.
Going on to the coaching. Mm. There was a lot of young boys coming through at Devon side at the time.
Aye.
Young Ian Barron.
Barney.
Aye, Barney still. Aye. Barney went on to play for a few years, Barney. And I think that whetted my appetite for doing the coaching.
Aye.
I had a wee go at the coaching when I left Cove to go to Turriff to help Alan out. He was got the manager's job there.
Assistant.
And I did that for a wee while, but I just found the players are a bit too needy. You had the phone folk up, Molly coddling, but you're a shooter. And that wasn't my style at all. I liked the coaching, but I really just had a hurt for coaching younger players, and that's what I ended up doing.
And you've never really dabbled back into adult sort of management or that?
No, I've had offers for junior clubs and to go and help Highland League clubs out and to. Then more than one offer to Groon and help doing the Vale and Bucky with the young players there. But no, just they really.
More interested in developing the youth.
I quite admire folk that do that. Seeing like a Stevie that you'd on last week and gone to do that. I think it's great that people buy in the game and give something back.
Yes.
But no, it just wasn't for me, James.
No. And if about committee wise, why do you think there's nobody left doing it the side on the committee for that golden era?
I think maybe a few of them have died, to be
fair to them. Well, I will let them off.
So, Ken Valady had that tragic accident, dying, and I think a few of the other guys. I mean, that's for me.
I'm mere meaning like your kind of group of players and it would be good to see Dune.
I've tended to find we a lot of the guys that end up being committee guys are, by and large, and I'm generalising here, there are guys that weren't really players.
Okay,
but they wanted to take a part in a club, but they weren't really
a bit like myself.
You're a bit of a harsh. But I think that's just a different breed. It's people that want to go and help out, but that weren't necessarily players themselves.
Okay. Did you think you had any weaknesses as a player or things that weren't quite developed as much as others?
I wasn't quick.
Okay.
I wasn't the quickest player. I think that was... that time at Villa looked at me and Aberdeen. I think
that was the reason you maybe didn't go pro.
I just wasn't quick enough.
Okay.
I didn't care if I'd had the perseverance and the mental strength to play pro, because I just think it takes a different level of that altogether.
Was there ever any other opportunities to sort of have a go at it, or was Villa the one and only
Aberdeen, time? Aberdeen, when Billy McNeil was there,
played
a pre-season friendly against the Vale, and I played really well that night. And I think he kept tabs on me for a week or two, but there wasn't a hand really came tilt.
No. Okay, back in those days, how did you prepare yourself for games, and how did you keep fit?
I was never a big drinker, or I wasn't a smoker, so I kind of was reasonably naturally fit. I wasn't one of these guys, I never enjoyed training. I hated training. I saw it as a necessary evil. I never was, some guys just love it. I used to like the games at the end of training, but I never ever liked the training. But I kind of kept myself fit. I mean, Scotty would insist that we would have no sexual congress on a Friday night for Saturday. I mean, it was like playing at a professional level.
Aye.
So you just follow the rules, ate sensibly, didn't drink too much. If you had a drink, it would be on a Saturday night after a game. Many a drink with the... At that time, when I was with the side, was a few guys from Bucky, and they picked me up in the Wydoon, and wee Ollie Murray was the physio at the time.
Okay.
And, oh my goodness me!
Brilliant.
Just hilarious.
Okay, but what was training kind of like at that point?
Alan was decent. Stuart helped out a lot with the coaching. We had a lot of really decent players in about, so it was quite organic. A few young boys kind of would join in, like Arlan's laddies, John and Rob, when they got to an age, they would come along and join in. But it was probably bog standard, you would think now, but some of the stuff that Arlan was doing, something I was carried into my coaching with my school teams was two-touch football. Arlan loved playing two-touch football.
Okay.
And I used to do a lot of that with my laddies.
Aye.
And if you see teams like Man City, they did a lot of that. There's two-touch in the go all the time, and it just keeps the ball moving.
Ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time.
If you had to name one manager, who got the best out of you?
It's difficult to go by Arlan, because he wasn't just a manager, he was a friend.
Aye.
I was utterly devastated. Mike was working down in Bath at the time and phoned me the day Arlan died. I just couldn't take it in. It was just...
Craig Ewan said something similar to the effect it had on him as well.
Just really... was one of these guys you couldn't imagine dying. It really just pulled the wind out of my sails completely. Mm-hmm. So difficult to go by Arlan. George Adams was, without a shadow of doubt, the first guy I'd seen employing psychological techniques to get into players' heads. George was light years ahead on than I'd seen. He was so clever at motivating people. He kent the guys to shout at. He kent the guys to put the arm round. He kent the guys to start a rumour about. He was a man management extraordinaire. But hard to go by, Scotty. I liked playing under Billy as well. Billy was a good guy to play under.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Tedcastle was interesting when I played with him at Avail, because Kevin Bremner ended up going to play professional football on the back a mistake, really. He was stuck for a striker one day, and we all suggested putting Kevin up front. He never looked back.
Brilliant. Okay, when you look at sort of the facilities and the scouting networks that are about now, do you wish you were kind of coming up through the ranks now in football?
I think it's my one big criticism I would have of Scottish football. I think we're stuck in the dark ages.
Aye.
I think Scottish youth football is stuck in the dark ages. Now, I watched a lot of games when I was 6-7 years ago. I did a bit of scouting for Aberdeen for a few years, and I went to a lot of juvenile games.
Aye.
It's the same pattern I saw time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that spoke a good game, but once the cut and thrust of the game started, it was get it up the pitch as far away from your goals as quick as you could.
Okay.
If it was a question you asked me there,
just be a bit like facilities that are around for boys now. Do you wish you were coming up now?
I didn't think it would make a difference, because I think people get spotted at a younger level playing for juvenile teams.
Okay,
once you hit the junior ranks and the Highland League ranks, you are dead in the water. Clubs don't want again. I recommended two or three Highland League players, Blair Yule, that played for Cove at the time.
Aye.
The guy Pitty Crimant went to play for. Peterborough, played for Cove, and English clubs will do that. They'll take the chance, but Scottish clubs just seem to be really resistant to try and take a player, even if it's a good young player playing at Highland League level. There's an arrogance, I think, about the Scottish game that says, no, they couldn't have been that good, because we would have spotted long than before now, and we didn't allow for late developers in our game. In Europe, they do. There's a pathway there for young players to come through. There's nae that in Scottish football by the same, and I think we miss out a lot.
Written off too early, and folk get lost to the game.
Either lost to the game, or I end up playing a level that's just a scoosh for them.
So it kind of leads us nicely into your coaching kind of days, which I think you're still involved in, are you?
I stopped at school.
Okay.
It was just a difficult time for me personally, and I just found it was just time-wise, I couldn't do that, and I couldn't kind of look after my wife and be involved in football. So I stopped the Aberdeen thing, scouting, and then I ended up stopping the kids' football. I miss it, but I want to go back.
But let me tell you, I spoke to a lot of boys, and I played for Putsley for a lot of years, as I said, and playing alongside them, so many guys have said, and credit you, with them getting into football, developing them and instilling a determination and a commitment inside them. And that's guys probably 5 years older and younger than me as well, so it's a whole generation of people around Purcell that you've inspired into football.
That's hugely flattering to say that, James. But I think players are players, and If Omdi puts credit my way, I would just put it back in their direction. I've been lucky to have coached a lot of really good guys with good attitude.
And there's so many still playing or just finished playing in Welfare, Junior, Highland League that have said they've came through the Grant Smith Soccer School.
I think that was Fletty. Fletty put on Wikipedia, and I still get that to this day. Were you the Grant Smith Soccer Academy?
Brilliant. What do you think, what was your approach to coaching and back then? And
My philosophy for coaching was, I was the same. It was that you're... duty as a coach was to mark individuals better players, to mark your team a better team.
Right.
If you didn't do that, it didn't matter if you won things or no. I was lucky, I was quite successful with my school teams, won North of Scotland Cups, league titles, but I was more interested in marking people better, playing being better players and playing a decent level of football.
Aye.
I mean, I was playing 4-2-3-1 in schoolboy football, then Highland League teams were still playing 4-4-2, 4-3-3. And if I was going to say anything, it would be that if you give people the chance to get better, people tend to rise to your expectations.
Aye.
Ken. Uh-huh. And you have to do that by being brave and giving them a chance to play football the way it should be played properly. Mm-hmm.
And you helped out to Stuart Neilson at Bath Academy, and you obviously Bucky School and North of Scotland as well.
I would not be a teacher now if it wasn't for Stuart Neilson.
Okay.
If I was still with BT, he invited me down to help out with the school teams, and that whetted my appetite for working with kids. And
brilliant.
It was Stuart, undoubtedly his influence, that made me a teacher, and I ended up doing coaching for him. Working for North of Scotland, a couple of great mates up north. John Mackay used to play for Brora, used to do the North of Scotland team with him. And I had great memories of that and some cracking loons coming through.
Aye. And I think my brother touched it on his interview, but they always remember some of your more unorthodox team talks as well.
I genuinely, and I'm not just saying this for legal reasons, I cannot mind saying any of that stuff.
Well, I'm everyone else that was there that day remembers that.
I thought it was more the Johan Cruyff style of coach.
Ah, well, it shows you're adaptable in your approach there.
Aye.
Is there any, again, you could say Abdi, but talk to me about players you're particularly proud of that have gone on to do good things in the game that you've coached.
It's funny, my list of players that I would be proud of, wouldn't it be the kind of guys, I mean, the obvious scenes would be guys like Stevie Watford going on to play at a higher level. But guys, I take a lot of pride on the guys that are still playing.
Aye.
Or sometimes the guys that found it difficult. Stuart Flett, I think for me, was
what a player.
Totally underrated player. Aye. Could have played at any level. That team that Mike played in at school, Chrissy Cray, Billy Walker, could go through all that team, really cracking players. Duncan Phillip, I'll say this to you, Duncan, Polly with his dad Fred, and Duncan got a raw deal at Banff Academy. Stuart didn't rate Duncan at all, but Kenneth Duncan just wouldn't have given.
A late
Duncan,
developer maybe as
late,
well. Aye.
Again, a great example of a late developer, great engineer man. If you tell Duncan to go and sit in the crossbar and set fire lamps, you'd hear the matches out your hand before you finish your
brilliant attitude.
It's guys like that are mine that had a struggle with finding their own identity as a football player, but managed to do it. Really proud that a lot of the boys that are playing for like of the Vale now are guys that either coached at Banff or are Bucky Loons that have come through.
Brilliant.
And I took a lot of pride. I used to say to guys, don't worry about winning cups, don't worry about losing medals or losing league titles.
No.
I'll boast about you if you're playing for a Highland League club or a junior club and I'm watching you. And I meant that. And I'm in a lucky position. I found myself able to do that.
And I would say as well, not just has there been some good, solid players come out of that, there's no many of them arseholes either. They're, a lot of them are genuinely decent nice people, guys away from football as well.
Yeah, and that's part of your responsibility, I think, as a coach, especially when you're coaching young players, is that holistic view of a player. You're not just influencing their football ability, it's their outlook to life, their attitude, and how they carry and conduct themselves. And I was very, very stringent about that. Shook hands after a game, anybody that was sulking got absolutely slaughtered. They had to behave like men if they were playing for me.
Yep. Okay. Obviously, you said that you weren't a pushy parent, but you must have passed on some wisdom to your son, Michael,
no,
because
he
went on to play for many years.
And Mike loved the game,
mm-hmm.
And has just kind of stopped recently.
Mm-hmm. Too early?
Probably, and I think...
We would have liked to seen him back at side for a couple of years.
I'm like. Sure you would have, and if he hadn't been biding in, that might have happened. I think he got a raw deal at Hermes latterly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, found himself in the same position, I think, as I was in as Cove for the manager. Didn't really embrace Mike.
Okay.
Mike's a far better player, and folk give him credit for. He's got great feet.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoyed going and watching Michael play.
He's popped up in more than one best 11 so far on the podcast as well, which is...
I'm pleased to hear that. And again, I'm proud of my son, Nath. The fact that he loves football and played football at a decent level, I'm proud of that. I mind one game up at Rothes when he's playing for Rothes, mm-hmm. and Rachel Ottoma, and Mike came on as a sub, and the boy that was sitting aside, Rachel, said, I can't really repeat what you said, but it was nae that big, lanky, useless ginger twat. And my daughter, Michael's sister, fell about the boy.
I can imagine.
And
Michael was
a bit ungamely. I felt sorry for Michael. He was quite ungamely as a young guy. He had long legs.
Another late developer?
Same as Duncan, stuck at it. And that's mm-hmm. kind of the thing that sticks with Mike. And also, I'm so proud or the kind of man he's turned out to be. He's just an absolute toff. You'd find very few folk that didn't like Michael.
The gentle giant.
Very competitive as
well. Nae on the pitch, he wasn't a gentle.
Proud
to see him following your footsteps at the side. And
absolutely.
League winner's medal with Hermes.
Absolutely.
Also, I believe, scored in the Scottish Cup for Real.
I think he did, yes. I mean, I used to go and watch Mike's at games occasionally, but... I find watching a really frustrating experience.
Well, let me tell you, you coming to watch was often an embarrassing experience for Michael, he tells me, especially when you bike down to Banff to watch the game by the corner flag in full tight Lycra.
I think he came out the corner flag and said, can you not go here?
Okay, last you know, Mike, let's put you in a spot. Who's a better player?
Me and Mike?
Aye.
I didn't think I would be doing my son a disservice to say me.
Okay, we'll go over that. Okay, Grant, so as well as being a serious matter, football is it's a fun thing as well. Have you any? If it's the funniest memory of being involved in football?
Probably the travelling a lot with the Everton side. I mean, we used to hear sing songs. I had not long started playing the guitar. And I was nothing at the standard I ended up being when I played with cover, which was average. I was well below average at that when I played with the side. I took a guitar at one, sing songs, and just brilliant. But my favourite story would probably be, there was a young guy who played for us called Ainsley Pratt for Macduff. And Ainsley was a bit of a fringe player, but a really good lad.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Okay.
And we were, I think it was a Scottish Cup time, when we were doing in bed a Friday night, we're all getting ready on a Saturday morning, and some of the younger lads had a bang on Ainsley's door, and he shouted, I'm in a shower. And he said, it's Scotty's need to speak to you, your mum's on the phone. So Ainsley, in a panic, come to the door, naked, covered in soap suds. The boys took him, threw him into the lift, pressed the down button, and as the lift opened at the bottom of the hotel, two old wifeys are standing waiting to get in the lift. And there's a naked and rather wet Ainsley Pratt standing, shouting oaths at the two wifeys. Just hilarious.
Brilliant. Okay. In terms of life now, Grant, you obviously keep yourself fit still.
I do. And kind of despite my life kind of almost and. I think imploding for Edith Doyle, if I knew that was coming. I've ended up, I'm in a relationship with another lassie, Fiona, if I just loved to bits.
Brilliant.
And I'm really positive about my life. Bike back and forth to my work.
Aye. You get a Lycra on.
In the summer, I get a Lycra on 2 or 3 times a week. I go to the gym 2 or 3 times a week.
Brilliant.
And play football every Thursday.
Aye. So you're still involved a wee bit in football?
I'm actually taking a school team doing Ellen at this time, but that's a different story. I'm the bus driver. So.
And the attitude and the will to win is still there. Having witnessed it firsthand at my pre-wedding match, you've still got the moves was it Good to Grace Princess Royal last time?
I absolutely loved it. And can I just say a big thank you for inviting me?
Oh, no, it was great to have you. again. I think you might have been robbed for Man of the Match as well.
I totally agree with you. No, I loved it. It was great. And Fiona was gutted that she never came. She thought we were just playing a bounce game. She didn't realise it was a range game.
My friend that came over from Canada thought we were playing fives. He had 2 pints before the game. But you could tell.
It was a great night. Really enjoyed it. It was competitive. But
you were competitive. I remember. I've still had nightmares about you roasting me in the showers after the game for that. I dropped.
I do apologise.
I guess that will win. Makes you what you are. So in terms of hobbies and interests, you talked about music and guitar, and you were once in a band as well.
I played with Cover to Cover for a few years when I was going through my career change. I golfed quite a lot at Cullen. And now I kind of... Biking's probably my hobby. I bike with my chum Murray. Because I'm in a new relationship now and I really want to spend time with Fiona, and she's got family, so I tend to end up spending... over half my week at her place, and just really enjoying being with somebody that's a fantastic person. Good. And has been so understanding of the position I found myself in.
A difficult one, but travelling. You're a big fan of travelling, are you?
I like travelling. I've done my fair share of travelling. In the last couple of years, did Madrid, Florence. Brilliant. Speaking about the States this year, so I like doing a bit of travelling. I'm a fairly content guy. I like spending time with folk I love, and I'm in a fortunate position for
good.
See my family a lot.
And you're a grandfather now as well.
Grandfather's just is amazing. I warned Mike and Rach. I said I'll have nothing to do with your bairns. I'm not going to be one of those hands-on grandparents, but I love it. The two girls are just
brilliant.
They've been such a brought such a healing to the Hale family. We went through, and my kids now are quite comfortable with the idea that I'm seeing somebody else, and they love Fiona a bit. So, things are really good, James. Yeah.
Good. And 60?
I just turned 60 in March. Brilliant. I have to tell you this, I was at the doctor last week. I've had a chesty
thing. The MOT?
No, not really, but had a chesty thing. Okay. I'm just going to go. I was getting an arm before and a bairns to go. And it was a young locum doctor it was in. I hope she doesn't get to hear us crying. So I went out to the docs and she said, that's a bit of a surprise. I says, what do you mean? She says, I'm looking at your notes here and I can see you've just turned 60 in March. I've never seen a 60-year-old looking like you. She says, you look about 42.
Brilliant.
So I've only told a couple of other folks.
I'll bet you.
So no, I'm keeping myself fit and good. Just trying. This is the jinx deal. I'll probably drop down D next week. But I might get
a few more listens if I have.
You maybe will. But just kind of, I just think you just have to keep going. Aye. If you feel fit and you're enjoying your life, I think this is a rehearsal for anything.
No, you're right.
I just think you just have to get. You can't.
You only live once is the old famous saying, but I totally agree with you there. In terms of your ambitions, have you got anything, a burning desire left to achieve?
No, utterly just to be happy. I've been lucky. I've been one of these guys. If I was being a bit big-headed, I would call myself a polymath or a renaissance man. I've been lucky that the things that I've had a go at, I've turned out to be nae bad at. I've turned out to be a really decent teacher. I was a good engineer. I was good at golf. I got a while with playing in the band. I loved my football, and I've been really fortunate. I just want to be happy.
Great. And no regrets?
No, not really. No. Obvious regrets about things that happen in your life with your control, but I just don't think you can do that. No.
Good. Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing about the best 11 you played with. There should be some great names in here.
I've been dreading this.
Have you got a formation?
I think the fairest thing, it's not because this is an affirmation I would play now. I would always play either a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-2-3.
It's maybe be getting boys in that you want in.
Just do a sense of parity, really, to get everybody that I've played with. So I've gone with a back four, a middle three, and a top three.
Brilliant. But
I wouldn't have played that formation now. Again, I think it's a bit outdated. I would play something different, but this is just to get up there.
Okay, so who's got the gloves?
Well, Neil Clark, my old buddy I played with as a loon, had a shout. Gary Mitchell had a shout. Jim George, when I was at Vale, had a shout. Stevie Beckett for Cove was a great goalie. Bobby Forsyth, a lot of folk of mine, Spicy, that was doing at the Broch and played at the Vale, like a cross-eyed goalkeeper. He was a great guy, Bobby. But it can't go past Jim Leighton.
No.
Just outstanding. Uh-huh. It's an easy choice.
Aye. Brilliant.
And no disrespect to the other guys.
And you make Mark Abdi else look handsome as well.
Yes, he would be.
Okay, who's in your defence?
Okay, playing two full backs and left full back. It's a toss-up, really, between Ian Cormack, if I could have played in the middle of the park,
uh-huh.
or Mal McAfee, Bucky, Gary Ennis, if I was right-sided but could play anyway.
Okay.
Given Gary the nod, and at right-back, Johnny Markey, if I played with the Vale. I didn't think I've ever played with a better full-back. Johnny was quick. He could read the game well. He passed the game well. I'm going to change my left back. I'm going to put Nielsen in because he'll never speak to me again.
Yeah, that's
Gary
true.
Gary will understand. I'm putting Nielsen in.
Nielsen's slotted in at the last minute.
Two centre backs, relatively easy. Andy Patterson at Cove,
uh-huh.
who's the best centre half I've ever played with.
Okay. What made him so good?
It's strength, determination, brilliant in the air, mm-hmm. read the game well, and
good.
An absolute gem of a guy as
okay.
well. And Willie Dobbins, that a lot of the Devon side guys will mind.
Right.
Willie was somebody that Scotty managed to pick up. Willie worked for the distillery company.
Okay,
he ended up working at Old Meldrum, and Alan got a hold of him. I actually played with Willie at Cove as well.
Okay.
Willie is the most arrogant player I've ever played with, but in a good way.
Okay.
I mean, he was a really humble, lovely guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when he went on to fit the pitch, there was nothing could touch Willie.
No.
It used to backheel the bar for 40 yards into the goalie's hands. I think pass backs were still allowed.
Brilliant.
He was a great guy to play with, and the hardest player I've ever played with.
Okay.
Willie Dobbins would go through things for
aye.
Fun.
So there's not much getting through that defence.
No.
With Nielsen at left back as well.
Well, that's your weak area.
the opposition's coming down there. They're doing it right. Brilliant. Okay, midfield trio.
Midfield was difficult as well.
Aye.
If I just say centre backs as well, I could have actually picked Jim Crawford and John Duthie. That was really difficult. John Duthie played for the Brock. Was what a player he was. He was like an overlapping sweeper.
Okay.
Aye, he would think first Toja, and he was in the middle of their 18-yard box. He was just a law unto himself.
I guess he'd have been suited to today's fullback sort of game.
Aye, well, I'm just looking at my last new. And I've got George Perry could have gone in here, centre back. Raymond Carnot could have gone.
Aye.
Forbes could have gone in there. Really, really difficult. Midfield, slightly easier. I've picked guys that I really enjoyed playing with. Enjoyed
mm-hmm.
playing with Graham Park, Scotty Patterson. Davy Ross taught me a lot when he arrived at Avale and I was a young lude. But
uh-huh.
my midfield three would be Graham Tallis.
Uh-huh.
And again, Graham.
Is that the same Graham that's involved at Bucky
aye,
these
Graham's
days?
I think he's the chairman at Bucky.
I think so.
Aye. And Graham had tremendous ability.
Okay.
But when he went to play for Keith, I think it was Jimmy Wilson was the manager at Keith, and
uh-huh.
Jimmy taught Graham a few tricks of the trade.
Okay.
Just turned Graham into this. He's the dirtiest player I've ever
seen. A hatchet man.
Oh, I've seen Graham. I went up near him once. Somebody clattered him. He says, "Look, dinner here again, or I'll have you." The boy clattered him again, and the bar was up to the end of the pitch, and we are turned around, and this boy's lying. Knocked out, his nose out of his face, and Gary Mitchell, the goalie, had seen it, and Graham had just took his elbow right across his
Jesus.
Face. They were gone nuts. But what ability Graham had.
Brilliant.
You used to fire a band to your feet at training, like I ram it into
aye.
Your feet.
To test you.
Just to test you
aye.
And see if it was good. So I'd have Graham in the right. I probably would have maybe, I'm thinking Dave McKenzie had played beat a Brock in the left. Dave McKenzie was a skillful player. That was light years. It was a bit in the Charlie Duncan mode.
Okay.
And a tremendous asset for any team.
Aye.
And my third midfield player is Norman Perry.
Uh huh. Your mentor at the Vale.
I had a couple of fouls with Norman because he could be brutal against other players, and I had a kind of American philanthropic attitude to boys, but Norman didn't. No prisoners with him.
Nah.
But I would have him in any team.
Aye.
The kind of guy playing against him. Hellish.
Okay.
What an asset to have on your side. And that would be my midfield three. Tallis, David McKenzie and Norman Perry.
Magic. So who's scoring the goals?
Well, I was spoiled for choice there.
Uh-huh.
And I've changed this right up until the last minute. But
uh-huh.
I think out of fairness to your podcast, I'm going to go with a Devon side front three.
Okay.
Play by Gary Loch. Had Ian Jess in here. I'm going to love Nathan Hammond.
Uh-huh. You can tell me about his qualities though.
Aye, well, he was just a really good football player. Ian had a great football brain.
Aye.
And actually had a tremendous amount of resilience. As a young boy, he mm-hmm. got hammered playing Welfare League football. But just kept coming back for mair. Kevin Bremner, worth a shout. Kevin on his day was utterly unplayable.
Aye.
Strength, pace, desire to win. Some of my favourite memories are his father watching us play, and I played with Kevin as a young boy as well. And Sandy was famous for his "Gee the ball to Kevy" shout. Kevin probably another day would have walked in.
Uh-huh.
Stevie Patterson, Pele played with Pele as a schoolboy, and I thought Fit Pele did. And again, he's got his demons,
mm-hmm.
but Pele is a topper of a boy.
Aye.
Fit he did is unparalleled. To go and manage a senior club, to take them through, and to get the manager's job at one of the top clubs in the country.
That was amazing.
Nobody will ever do that again.
And
fond memories of watching Carling.
I was going to say, we shared a great, probably one of my favourite football moments down at Celtic Park, if you remember that.
Absolutely.
And we were there that game when Super Carling go ballistic, Celtic are atrocious.
And we nearly never went to that game.
It was in the middle of exams. We went to the first one and the stadium was falling apart and they called it off.
And we thought, oh, no bother going to do it again.
No, but we did, and I'm glad we did.
Unbelievable. And I might go on with John and your dad to Livingston for doing there.
That's right.
A title decider.
Is that the one they lost?
The lost.
Aye, I think I was there.
And because your dad had got through uni with Stevie, mm-hmm. had a lot to do with Stevie.
We used to go watch his Huntley team as well, which was brilliant.
Aye. Well, Stevie's teams I played with still. He was just sheer class.
Brilliant.
Norrie McBain could have gotten in there. I played with Stevie Cowan at Avail.
Okay.
Erstwhile punter from BBC. I mind rolling in the ground, filled Stevie in, playing. We used to train with Carly when it was playing for the Avail.
Okay.
For a while at... I think it was at Summerhill. Was it Summerhill or was it? It was one of the schools in Aberdeen.
No.
And Stevie was a big Z shite. And was dishing it out one night in training, and I smashed him up against the wall. And he didn't like it.
No.
So, we ended up fighting, and I just absolutely thrashed him to bits. I didn't give a came back.
Saw him away.
Roy Chillingworth, I have to mention, fond memories of Roy. Roy was the first intelligent football player I ever met, and he used to smell like garlic all the time. It was quite captivating, this exotic character. Played with him at Avail and at Turriff. Johnny Cowie, when I first started playing with Avail, Johnny Cowie's one of the senior players there. And Johnny had an array of tricks that would put young boys to shame. He was way ahead of his time. And Charlie, the late Charlie Esselment, he was the first player that I ever met that I used to think I was really skillful and could do things with the bar. When I met Charlie, I thought, oh my goodness, okay, how he never made it with Aberdeen, I've no idea.
No. So who's getting the nod?
Well, toyed with the idea with wide players, Bertie Bowie played with Ebrock, Ian Wright with Devon's side, Raymond Yule, Mickey Meg at Cove.
Is he related to the Bows banging in the goals for Cove now?
He's his son. He was at Aberdeen.
Got
released, so... My front three, I'm going to go with Graham Rodger.
Brilliant.
Just an absolute machine. and it might be a bit nepotistic, but I'm going to go with Davy Purry.
Uh-huh.
Davy Purry is Mr. Fitba for me. I've never met anybody that loves Fitba more than Davy Purry.
Okay.
He loves speaking about it. He loves playing it. He's now secretary at Bucky Thistle. He's done a great job for there. He's an absolute gentleman. You'll never hear anybody say a bad word about Davy Purry. And I'll hear Davy in on a team. Davy would run himself into the ground for a team.
And you need that.
And my striker for getting my goals is going to be Stuart Baird. Stuart Baird is the best finisher that I've ever played with.
Okay.
And the funniest player that I've ever played with. Just an absolute hoot.
Brilliant.
He'd hear a story for every occasion and was so quick in his feet and was part of that hugely successful Devon side team. So that's
great team. Tell me, who would captain your side?
Norman Perry.
Aye.
Yeah.
Leader in there.
Aye. Or Willie Dobbins, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of them too. Yeah. Would you get any games in that squad? Would you get yourself in?
Aye, but I'm not egotistical enough to displace any of that guys in the middle of the pitch. I'd be quite happy to sit and watch.
Uh huh.
I'd be quite happy to do an Alfie Morrison and sit and watch the game for the side. Sorry,
if,
Alfie.
If those boys were all in their prime and you dropped that team into the Highland League currently, would they win it?
I think that's really disrespectful to teams that are in the Highland League. I didn't like the Do Not Line. I can, it's tempting to think that, but I think it's a different game now. I think players are fitter. I think they're quicker. I think they're stronger. I think they're, a lot of guys are looking after themselves a lot better. But it would give a lot of teams a really, really decent run for their money.
Definitely. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Grant. I always finish off with a couple of quick fire questions, if that's fine. VAR, yes or no?
No, I can't believe me. It's one of the things in recent weeks that's made me question my allegiance to football. And I can't tell you how much I detest it. I think it slows the game up at the wrong times. I'd stick with the odd wrong decision. I think if you could get a quick decision, it would be fine. But I can't believe me.
No, okay. Anything else then in football that you would change?
No, Dippy mentioned something last week that I thought was quite interesting. The sin bin.
I've mentioned that as well. I think it's a good idea.
I think that's, because as he was saying, guys that trip somebody up or handle a bar, getting sent off for that, I just don't think that's right. So I'll go with the sin bin.
Good. Okay. Will Scotland qualify for Euro 2020 through these playoffs, do you think?
No, I do not think they will.
No? Where will they fall? Final?
Well, if I'd probably settle for fun in the final. I just think it's a big ask. I have a lot of time for Steve Clark, and I think cause there's certainly been signs of hope. I find it totally incomprehensible. You get boys that think that they didn't want to play for their national team.
No, it's...
And that's Kerry and Scott Brown wanting to come back.
It's nonsense.
Not a chance.
Nonsense.
No way.
I don't think he'd get in you anyway, to be honest.
Well, he shouldn't get in.
No. Okay, which professional player, past or present, do you think closely resembles you, your style, your attributes and your attitude?
Oh my goodness me. I would be in my dreams to say somebody like Graham Souness, but I wouldn't have likened myself to anybody. I think I would be deemed a professional football player, a gross disservice. I think I got a while with playing. I think I was half decent at fit I did, but no, I wouldn't inflict that upon anybody.
Okay. To finish up, Grant, I believe you've got a quote that you about football that you love.
One of my great maxims for a pal that still plays with Stuart Seller, I'll be known in welfare circles. Stuart's a bit of a psycho. great football man, a bit like Davy Perry, loves football. And Stuart, I once heard it a night out coming away with this classic, and I quote it often, and he said, "Forget the wheel, forget fire. Man's greatest invention is football." And I didn't think he's far off a mark.
Brilliant. And that's a clean version of that one, is it? We can sub out another F word.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Grant, it's been an absolute pleasure looking back with some of the stories. I bet we could have went on another few years as well, but we're kind of time limited.
I didn't want Mike casting it up.
No, but thanks for agreeing to do this and welcome me into your home.
Really appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Buddy. Take care.
Huge thanks to Grant for agreeing to come on and talk to me and for looking back on his career. And also for talking, you know, so openly about his journey. I hope you found it as fascinating as I did. Local football for you to enjoy this week. Let's have a look. Devon's side host Ellen United in the Super League. Looking to record some points after a run of setbacks. White Hills don't seem to have a game, so Hills fans can also get along to Myres to watch that one. Devon Vale are also at home on Saturday, hosting Wick Academy, as they too look to put a poor run behind them. Let's hope, for everyone's sake, there are no foxes out to ruin the football this weekend. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow or subscribe on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Anchor app or website. Please also feel free to share the links far and wide on social media. I'm just one man with a mic, but as I've said, like a broken record, I appreciate the listens, the messages and the feedback that I've received so far. It's been way above my expectations. I'm always on the lookout for guests. Just message me on Facebook or Twitter or email me at jamesmclay@hotmail.co.uk. Looking to speak to people from any club
or from outside of football if you've got an interesting story to tell. If you just want to input or ask a question on the podcast, send them in to me, no worries at all. Once again, thanks for listening, and hopefully I'll see you next week.